hard to read. I misconstrued what you mean. Slip me a napkin, and now that's a start. Is this your name or a doctor's eye chart? You went ready. I have an angel, have a tongue. I try to comprehend you, but I got a dyslexic heart.
I forgot I have to pan down the music and we start talking.
Yes, you
point.
Do.
I was so enjoying the song.
I know. It's a great song.
I never remember when we start the show.
Mm-hmm. Because we haven't really done it in a long time.
Since December.
Since Christmas, I think.
It's been three fucking months.
Yes.
Dyslexic Heart number 10. Welcome.
Is it 10?
Number 10. We made it to 10.
I thought it was 9.
We made it to 10.
That's my playlist is called 9. Oops.
I think it's 10. Yeah. So here we are.
Here we are. So...
drinking and yapping.
Yep.
That's what we do.
It's what we do on this show.
Rare Dyslexic Heart show.
And I get to rant about the weather if I want to, because there are no fucking rules on this show. Oh my God.
On our other podcast about Las Vegas, we have a no weather policy, because otherwise we get calls going, it's really nice and warm here in Las Vegas. Unfortunately, it drizzled for 45 minutes yesterday. So we don't use that shit. And unless there's something crazy going on, no weather.
Yeah, like unless it, you know, snows there or something.
Don't even do that unless it's like a major thing. But
yeah.
Fuck this show, we have no rules, so go ahead.
No, okay.
Rant.
Can I please? Okay, so last week it was like 50 degrees and it felt like 80 because it was just so fucking awesome. And this has been the most brutal, bleak, annoying, stupid-ass motherfucking winter we've ever had.
How do you really feel?
You will know, my friend. This winter was a cunt donkey.
Okay. Yes.
So you kind of think, all right, 50s, sun, snow melting. I could see grass in our front and backyard. Snow was gone from my roof. I thought, all right, shit, yeah, I can do this. I can actually wear sandals in the next couple months. It's all about the footwear with me, really. Nice.
Keep talking.
Nice music. So then last Wednesday, and I apologize if I'm boring people with this.
You are,
but
that's what the show's all about.
We as a state in Minnesota are fucking tired and we're fucking angry and we have had it with this shit because every person I've talked to at work, every person I've encountered on the street, in a store, whatever, we're all just, we've got this rage bubbling under the surface. And if we get like a single more inch of snow, I think we're just going to collectively going to explode.
I wish I knew who to properly attribute this to. Somewhere today on Twitter, I think it was.
Yeah.
Fuck, I wish I knew who to give the credit to. Someone said, this weather sucks so bad that I've now decided that Mother Nature's real last name is Fucker.
That's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so last Wednesday, after we can see the grass, after it's been 50, we get a fucking foot of goddamn snow. And not only do we get a foot of snow, it stays cold, so it doesn't melt right away. It's just cold and miserable and stupid, and it's acceptable for January, February. It is not acceptable for late March.
I rejoiced at being able to see my roof for the first time in 4 months, and now it's once again covered up with white shit.
So I go out to my car. We made a tactical error when we bought our house in that the car is a 1.5 car garage instead of 2.
And
so one of us has to park outside.
Even though you drive half a car.
I know. It's a red Saturn. It's tiny.
Your space in the garage is filled by a snowblower, a lawnmower, and some shelves.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't fit both of our cars in the garage right now anyway.
We could if we really, really, really tried, but no, because yours is too big.
Mine is too big. When I drove a Pontiac 6000, which sounds futuristic and awesome, but it really wasn't, we could sandwich both of our cars in, but now that I drive my sweet-ass, big-ass luxury car.
With heated seats, which I enjoy.
There's no getting two cars in that garage.
Okay. So I make the mistake of not brushing off my snow the night before, I say mine like I'm owning it because I fucking hate that white fluffy bullshit. There's 3 inches of ice and 3 inches of snow. So I'm chiseling. I am fucking chiseling the snow off my windshield. I end up breaking a scraper in the process. And I go through the 5 stages of grief as I'm doing it. There's anger. There's tears. There's denial. I think I hit the acceptance because I think at the end of the whole thing, I was just broken. And I almost did not go to work. I almost just went to the airport, threw my credit card down on the counter and said, "What can you do for me where there's sun?"
We've broken two scrapers.
Both on my car because you were helping me.
I was trying to be helpful.
You're being a very sweet man.
We broke 2 scrapers. It's a 2-scraper winter. That's shitty. And it's the first winter where I actually broke down. We've been in this house for fucking 14 years. Is that right?
Yeah, 14 this year.
I finally broke down and bought a snowblower. That's how bad this winter was.
Yeah.
And God.
And thank God blessed. You did.
Yes, that snowblower has been my... I worship it every day.
So if you're in a state where you don't have any snow on the ground, consider yourself goddamn lucky.
Yeah. None of this I miss the seasons bullshit.
No, no. Yeah, we have rage. We have rage right now. So apologies to anyone who's bored by this discussion, but God damn it, it fucking sucks. The only benefit was being able to chill our beverages on the deck this evening.
We put a bottle of champagne in the snow on the deck and it was cool in half an hour.
Yes.
Fantastic.
We have our own -5 ice bar.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. All right.
Nice
we're rant. Done. Nicely done.
Thank you for indulging us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this whole show is about indulging us, as anyone who's listened before knows. We don't really have much structure or coherent thought on this show.
No.
It's just us bitching about stuff and
talking about the music we love.
It's very self-indulgent. It really is.
It is.
How big are our egos?
Yeah.
I get that why people would listen to the other show, because it's about Vegas and it's something they care about. This show is just nothing but us. Mm-hmm. That's no good. So... All right. So, yeah, we like to play music on this show.
We do.
So,
anything jump out at you in my playlist besides Kesha?
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, Kesha's jumping out for not good reasons. I'm not playing any Kesha. We do a few rules in the show, but no Kesha is one of the few rules.
She's coming out with her own line of condoms, we heard.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine how thick that condom would have to be if it was Kesha-proof. Horrible.
Yeah.
I'm going to play Adele because she's awesome.
Okay, and we'll talk about this more after.
I'm going to play this is an appearance, a live version.
Yeah.
And it has the intro and all that shit, too.
Good,
so this is from the Brit Awards. James Corden is intro.
There's nothing quite like the feeling when you're listening to a song written by someone you don't know, who you've never met, who somehow manages to describe exactly how you felt at a particular moment in your life. This next artist is able to do that time after time. It's for that reason that she's currently number one in an astonishing 17 countries. If you've ever had a broken heart, you're about to remember it now. Here performing Someone Like You, it's the beautiful Adele.
Turn up out of the blue, uninvited, but I could couldn't stay away. I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I'll remember you said. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it hurts instead. Yeah.
Oh my God, I know, just love
it's,
her.
It's a little ballady for us, but oh my God, her voice is so fucking good.
And that song will stick in your head for days, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was written by Dan Wilson.
I know, Dan Wilson.
Formerly of Semisonic.
Minneapolis boy.
Yes.
Love that
and
guy.
And Trip Shakespeare. Love him.
So
proud.
I wanted to use that version just because to hear her live, oh my God.
Yeah.
She's good. This is her second album.
She's only 21.
I know. It's amazing.
And then at the end, James Corden says, you know what? When you've got a voice that good, all you really need is a piano. And yep. You don't need all this other bullshit,
yep.
All these special effects or anything.
Yep. She's awesome.
Yeah. And she's beautiful, too. I mean, yeah. She just... Everything about her is just fabulous.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
Yeah, and she's gorgeous, too, and she just dresses really well.
I
mean, that's in addition to the voice. The voice is just, that's what gets you, but...
I need to check out her first album, because I'm not as familiar with that as her new album.
Yeah,
and,
that
I
one's called 19.
Album.
She recorded it when she was 19.
The new one is 21.
Yeah. The next one will be 23.
I've been listening to 21 a lot lately,
yeah.
So...
She's just amazing. I'm yep. just... Oh. Soulful I'm just
voice.
So impressed with her. I just think she's fabulous. Oh, I can't say that enough. I think I've said fabulous like 5 times in the last 10 minutes.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Well, that's your choice of words. Oh, I'm married to a gay man.
You are. I have a little gay man inside that watches RuPaul's Drag Race every Monday.
Is his name Ryan Seacrest?
No. Not that little and not that gay.
All right.
You hate the Drag Race, though. You really do.
Here's the thing. It's not funny. It's supposed to be funny. It's not funny.
This season isn't as funny
no,
as last
I watched
season.
It, I watched last. It's not funny.
Really?
Drag queens are not funny. They're funny for like a very short time, and then it's like the shtick wears so thin.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
They're fascinating to me.
For a brief time, but it's not, no.
No?
No.
That's okay. Uh-huh. We can have different interests.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to sit down and watch Drag Race.
Are there
me.
Any
of
my,
on...
Are there any of my interests that annoy you as much as some of the shows that you watch that annoy me?
Okay, I love Sarah Silverman. Uh-huh. I think she's hilarious, uh-huh. But I can't watch her every night like you could.
I watched seasons 1 and 2 of the Sarah Silverman show in about a week and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing about, oddly enough, the thing about that show that amused
she's
me,
grown on me. She's really grown on
she's
me.
Really
she's
funny.
Really hilarious.
That show was really well written.
Yeah.
And the,
oh, okay, this is the part where he says she's great.
The
not Sarah Silverman, Adele.
The Steve and Brian characters were the strongest on that show.
Yes.
Wow, wasn't that amazing? You can have all the dancers, the pyrotechnics, laser shows you want, but if you sound like that, all you need is a piano. Incredible.
That's right.
Yep. You tell him, Smithy. Speaking of
James
Smithy.
James Corden is a British actor.
Oh, God, I love him.
Who nobody in this country knows.
No.
But
unless they do a really shitty remake of Gavin and Stacey like they did with The Office and Coupling.
They're going to. It's going to be horrible, I'm sure.
I mean, The Office was fine for the first couple seasons, but it's just, oh, God,
yeah.
I just can't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
And there are some really awesome, funny people involved in that show, but I just can't.
It grew thin.
Yeah.
Gavin and Stacey is an awesome BBC show.
Yes.
And if you have BBC America, I'm sure you'll be able to catch it in reruns, but James Corden is hilarious. Mm-hmm. He's awesome.
And if you go on the YouTube.
Uncle
Bryn, too. YouTube. Oh my God, I love Uncle Bryn. He's hilarious. And look up the comic relief stuff that James Corden did.
Although,
this year. Some of the stuff went over my head. I don't know all of the...
If you don't know the characters, it might be... I knew some of them, some of the characters, but...
Yeah, I didn't know all of them, but it was still really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep.
Good times.
Okay, so what else is going on in our...
Well, let's talk about the show we saw last night.
Yes.
And the show we saw the night before.
Yes, we've had... We've been
people about town.
We've been scenesters. So yeah,
we wore our ironic T-shirts and carried our PBR cans proudly.
No, that's hipsters.
Oh, okay, difference. Sorry.
Difference. We were not listening to.
I was
Mumford
overwhelmed by the Otis fart for a minute.
Oh, okay. We've had a few awesome nights of entertainment here in the Twin Cities.
We managed to leave our house. It was very exciting.
We're going to be leaving the house a lot in the next 2 months.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of stuff coming up.
We have a cork board in our right off of our kitchen where we put like bills and stuff that we need to pay attention to. And one of the things that we have there is all of our tickets from upcoming events. I think we have more tickets on the cork board now than we've ever had since ever.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, especially now that we have baseball tickets too. Mm-hmm. We've got tickets for 3 Twins games. And it's not even that many concerts. It's all comedy stuff. A lot of it's comedy and kind of pseudo musical events.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of shit coming up. So last night, let's start with Thursday. It's Saturday right now.
God, it was so funny. I have not laughed that hard in a long time.
We went to Acme Comedy Company, which is an awesome local comedy club here in Minneapolis, and we've been there many, many times. It's one of the I guess I haven't been to that many comedy clubs, but I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts.
We read a lot of comedy books.
I'm obsessed.
We share a lot of books.
I'm obsessed with the art of stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Not just like I go see a stand-up comic and I laugh. I love
how they work the crowd.
I love the artistry of it. I love mm-hmm. what goes into it. So
yep.
I listen to a lot of podcasts that stand-up comics do because they talk about that stuff.
And we read a lot of books about that too. There was the one about...
Born Standing Up by Steve Martin is fucking brilliant, by the way.
Yes, yes.
That was one.
What was the one where it was Stories from the Road?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What was that? It was
a lot of different comics talking about some of their worst or most
best
memorable
and worst and just
experiences
stuff.
On the road. And
yeah.
It was just amazing how some comedy club owners would just screw people.
Yep.
And I'm sure that still goes on to this day.
Yep. So, stand-up comedy, awesome.
And you've loved, that's been a common theme of this show.
I've been a comedy.
Remember when you read some of your...
Yeah. And trust me, there's still a part of me that's like, I should try to do that.
I would support you in that, honey.
It would be horrible. If I ever did an open mic night, it would be the worst thing ever.
I just know that I don't have the... intestinal fortitude to stand up on stage every night and
no, that's the thing. But it's weird because
I couldn't deal with hecklers. I would just I don't know what I'd do. I'd either overreact or I'd ignore them.
Most stand-up comics have a very, very dark side to them. It's interesting once you get into that, like into reading and hearing.
Yeah, you're like into self-punishment or something almost.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know if I could take it either, actually. I want to please people too much, although that's something...
That's another thing.
That's part of it with stand-ups. They do.
You want to please people.
And
see, I've spent most of my life trying to suppress that instinct because it's... Because I've had... I think I was a dog in a past life, to be honest.
Interesting.
Because I love... There was a time where I just loved to please people. I would do almost anything for people's approval, and I love being petted.
Awkward. So anyway.
So we saw Patton Oswalt at Acme.
Yeah, we go to Acme a lot. Not a lot, but a few times a year we go to Acme when there's a really good comic coming through. And Patton Oswalt,
who is
one of the fucking top 5 comics.
He's
top
brilliant.
3 comics.
Just brilliant.
Today
and so intelligent too.
Yeah, to see him work a small room, a small comedy club, is rare for us. He came through a couple of years ago, and he played the State Theater, which holds, you know, a couple thousand people.
Like, what, 3,000?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So that was a different experience. It was great.
But the crowd was totally different. The crowd was yelling out stuff, like, almost in unison. Like, they would yell out a bit, and he'd start doing it, and people would be doing the bit along with him. It was kind of like a Greek chorus thing, which is weird.
Well, he did his main set, and then at the end he said, I'm going to do a couple of my old things, because he knows when he's doing a show of that size that there's going to be a little bit demand for his well-known bit. So
Uncle Touchy's Puzzle Basement.
He indulged the crowd and did some of his well-known things that he had done on albums or, you know, Comedy Central specials or whatever.
Look up Christmas Shoes.
Christmas Shoes on YouTube, yeah.
Or funnierdie.com. Holy shit, that's great. He breaks down the Christmas Shoes song. We probably mentioned that on the last episode.
Maybe. So for us to see him, if we were in LA, it would be a whole different thing because he plays comedy clubs there constantly. But here, for him to come and do one night at Acme, which holds a couple hundred people, was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just
the size of the venue.
It was in and of itself, it was, if you were just going, like, I'm going to go see a funny guy and he's going to make me laugh. Okay, he achieved that because we were in pain when we left from laughing so hard.
My stomach hurt in a good way. Like, I'd been exercising almost. But as a
stand-up comedy dork who kind of somewhat studies this stuff and really pays attention to the artistry of it, I was like, it was like, fuck, I'm in graduate school watching this guy. It was fucking amazing just watching him control the room.
Yep.
And deal with he at his level, there's, you don't get hecklers because everybody knows him and is coming out to see him.
Like, they love him too much. That's the thing.
You end up, instead of hecklers, you get people who are into it and think that they're helping by participating in the show.
Right.
And he had a couple of those, and the way that he dealt with them was a thing of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever get a chance to see this guy on the road, he is amazing. If you're a stand-up comedy fan, go see Patton. So not only were we lucky enough to see his stand-up act the following night, last night, we got to see him in a different, completely different role. He didn't do stand-up at all. He participated in a thing called Wits, which is a radio show that Minnesota Public Radio was recording. And we saw one of these last year, too. This is season number 2.
It was the one with John Hodgman we saw last year, right?
Last year, John Hodgman was the guest. Who was the musical guest for that?
I don't remember.
Was there one?
I know they sang Happy together at the end.
Shit, I don't even remember. But anyway.
I should.
John Hodgman was the main guest. This year, there are 4 shows. For the first episode, Patton was the actual main guest. Paul F. Tompkins called in from Australia. He was a secondary guest by phone, and he was awesome as well.
He's great.
And then the musical guest was Grantley Phillips from the band Grantley Buffalo.
He was hilarious.
He was awesome. Not only was his music great, but
his impression of Jesse Ventura alone.
He did an impression of Jesse Ventura on his conspiracy theory show that was fantastic.
Oh my God.
And then he also was doing kind of the NPR radio voice.
The voice.
And he was unbelievable. He was hilarious. General admission, which we were a little bummed out by. It's like, shit, general admission. We're going to end up having to get there early to make sure we get on the floor and not on the balcony. It's in the Fitzgerald Theater, which is where Garrison Keillor does his Prairie Home Companion recordings.
Which is why you posted on Twitter, it smells like Garrison Keillor's farts in here.
Exactly. So we got there, I don't know, the doors opened
a little before
6.
Seven.
We got there around 7, which is when the actual theater opened.
Yeah, because they were having a tweet up, which I hate that word.
I know.
But they were having like a reception.
It was a fucking tweet up.
They were having a reception with cocktails and you wore name tags with your Twitter handle, which actually came in handy as we were leaving because we recognized somebody that we knew on Twitter and said, hey.
We've actually met her before.
Yeah, we have. But I wouldn't have recognized her.
Yeah.
Because I'm horrible with faces. Yeah. I am horrible with faces.
So
when people are bad with names, I suck at faces. I'm just going to say it.
So the Wits show involves...
I don't suck faces. I suck at faces.
All right. So the Wits show involves, like, they have a kind of a topic, and it's a radio show. They just discuss this topic. Last night's was obsessions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty much... Patton wrote an article for Wired a while ago.
Oh, brilliant.
About
too.
How there was a time when nerds were, you know, people who had their obsession, and now it's kind of like everybody has an obsession, and mm-hmm. it's kind of, things have kind of changed.
It's
and
diluted.
Although, and it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of diluted, but it's kind of cool because kind of nerds have kind of won.
Yeah. But in the article, he was kind of saying that it,
yeah, that wasn't the point of the article, yeah. But I've taken, that's kind of the slant I'm taking. It's kind of like,
the nerds have won because we're all obsessed with something, and it's okay to be a nerd now.
Yeah. So it was about obsessions, and Patton was the perfect guest because, as the name of the series, Wits, would imply, you need somebody who's going to be quick on their feet and able to, mm-hmm. You know, come up with very funny things on the spur of the moment, depending on how the conversation goes. Grant Lee Phillips was equally funny and hilarious and on his feet. And able to jump in and say some really great stuff. And what an incredible show and an incredible night. And I wish I had some Grant Lee Phillips.
I do, actually. If you want to look through my library, I think I have Truly, Truly, which he played.
Do you have anything else to talk about while I search for this?
Let's see. So going back to Patton, how we were talking about comedy, and he had this bit in his act about how comics... He somehow ended up comparing comics to strippers and how comics sort of, how they have all this in common, how they like lay themselves out before people, but strippers actually take their clothes off. And could you imagine if the stripper is dancing to this REO Speedwagon song, but she's only talking about her vagina and not showing it to you? And
yeah.
And it's way funnier when he does it than when I do, but.
Go to I don't know, what is Minnesota Public Radio's website? Go to Minnesota Public Radio's website. You can search for it.
Yeah.
And
throw it in the Googler.
And search for Minnesota Public Radio Wits and go to the page. Right now, they just have stuff from last year up, but they're going to have the full video and audio and everything from the Patton Show in probably a few days.
I love how, they have this thing at the end. They call it Last Call, and they do this toast, mm-hmm. and everyone does a toast, and they ended up changing theirs up.
They had to re-record it after the show was over because there was a problem with the audio quality.
And they ended up changing it up, and it ended up being even better.
Grant Lee Buffalo did this whole NPR and National Public Radio-esque kind of thing about the environment, and he ended up dedicating
the
show
to
saving the whales. Patton jumps in with his, and he, in order to provide balance, dedicated and toasted the harpoonists, which was fucking brilliant. And then John Moe, the host, who was awesome.
He had something about sodomy previously.
Yeah,
which...
Patton had something.
It was like the Minnesota State motto and their first draft of it, and it included sodomy.
So it was an awesome night. And the cool thing is we have another one of these in about 3 weeks, and that's going to be with Chuck Klosterman, who's an awesome, awesome author. He wrote Fargo, Rock City, and a bunch of other books, pop culture-esque books.
Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs.
And the musical guest is Craig Finn from The Hold Steady, which will make me fucking...
Moist in your
my
pants.
Especially if we get in the front row again like we did last night.
God, I only hope so.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. We were bummed about the general admission. We ended up in the front row. So
out. As long as we're like close. Although I'm kind of afraid, like if we're in the front row with Craig,
I don't care. I might
rush the stage or something and just like start bowing at his feet.
Yeah, well, that's okay. All right. So Grant Lee Phillips, Grant Lee Buffalo was his band. The song Truly, Truly is one of the songs he did last night.
And I was hanging with some friends down in the parking lot one night near the summer's end. And I leaned back against the glass, and up a cord and watch all the speeding cars crash. Made me think about us. Made me think about us. Truly, 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 I want you. Truly, 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 I do. Truly, 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 and I want you.
Grant Lee, Phillips and the other musicians involved in the show, John Munson from
The New Standards and The Twilight Hours,
Semisonic, Trip Shakespeare, he is the musical host of the show. They ended up leading the crowd in a sing-along of
All By Myself by Eric Carmen.
A classic at the end of the show. So that was awesome. And, oh shit, there was something I was just going to say. I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. I'll fill in for you. There was a woman who was there alone, which I totally respect because if I were, I don't know, I have a really, unless I'm shopping, I have a hard time going places alone. Like, I never go to movies alone.
I do. I have no issues with that.
Yeah.
I used to go to shows alone. I used to go to concerts alone.
Yeah?
Sure. I even went to, even after we were.
Oh, you went to Prince?
I went to a Paisley Park party. You didn't even play. I went to a Paisley Park party alone many years ago.
Were you dancing with yourself?
I was doing no such thing.
Yeah.
It was before you had ever even been there, I think. I remember coming home and you were in bed and I was like trying to tell you about it and it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. You're like, ugh.
You're like, ugh.
There was a guy that was a complete dick to me that night, too. Oh, go ahead, though.
He can suck it. Yeah. There's this woman there and we were kind of standing across from her as we were waiting to go in the doors and I'm like, shit. I think I know her, but
really?
I can't remember where from, and but I don't want to say. And I remember having like awkward eye contact and then like looking away, and I hope she didn't think that I thought she was a freak or anything. I just thought she was perfectly nice and lovely. And
was it someone you know?
No, I don't think so, but she just looked really familiar.
Huh.
But I didn't want to be like, you look really familiar to me. Do you know where you're from?
If we had gone to the tweet up, maybe we would have met her.
She wasn't wearing a name tag, though. I think she was shy and introverted, just like ourselves.
I don't do tweet ups.
No,
I
don't
either. The
closest
we've ever come to the tweet up is the podcaster get togethers back in the early days of podcasting.
Yeah, we did go to those.
I was telling some people at work about that. I was telling them about this.
There was one at the Town Hall Brewery. A couple of them. I think
you
went to one without me.
I went to at least one or maybe even two without you, but. Back in the early days of podcasting, we were all just trying to figure out how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was the Minnesota Podcaster Group. We met some interesting people there.
Oh, yes, we did.
It was fun.
We won't name names.
Interesting isn't always bad. There were some
really, really cool people, and there were some really intense, I want to monetize this now people.
Yeah. There are a couple of people who are kind of pretentious and annoying, but there were some cool people there.
There were some very cool people there.
But as a general rule, I have a hard time going to things like that because I'm not good at just walking up to people and saying, hi, I'm Tim. How you doing? This is what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in my nature.
This is like very sort of, I don't even know if this is related, but the woman on the Vegas Solo blog, just to like tie this into our other show, she's really nice. I follow her on Twitter and she posts some really good stuff. She went to see Human Nature. And she was very freaked out by the fact that it was table seating.
Right on.
And even as a couple, like even not being a solo person, I'm very freaked out by table seating.
Yeah, it's awkward. It's awkward trying to converse with people you don't know. That's one of the things about cruises.
And
I know they're not all like that.
A lot of them are freestyle where you just go where you want. And you're not, but yeah, I will never, ever, ever do a cruise where I have assigned seating with a table of people. No fucking way. It's like going to a wedding where you're assigned seating.
Yeah.
And
awkward small talk is.
Yeah.
I don't like.
That's not relaxing to me.
I don't like menial chatter.
Yeah.
I know there can be benefits to it, but.
The most painful things to me are like, so what do you do? I hate talking about my job.
Uh-huh.
I hate it. Yeah. I mean, I don't hate my job.
I hate talking about my job. I do too.
Yeah. Because then I have to explain what a technical writer is and all that bullshit. And
yeah, it's awkward. We played two really, really slow, melancholy songs. We need something a little more upbeat.
Oh, let's see. What do we have on there? Hey, do you want to play the Trampled by Turtles song?
I actually would. Is that an upbeat one?
Yeah.
Do they go into a fucking banjo?
Yes, they do. There are two songs on there. But we can talk. That'll lead us to another topic.
Let's just
do the Wait So Long song.
Okay. So neither of us are really into banjo-y bluegrass music at all.
But I kind of like this band.
Yeah, I do to an extent. I do in limited doses.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, part of it is I know one of the people. Well, knew one of the people. I shouldn't say no, present tense.
Made out with. And. So yeah, we'll play a Duluth band, Duluth, Minnesota, mm-hmm. Trampled by Turtles. This is very folksy for us.
No.
Oh, fuck. Are we all hipster? We're being all hipstery now. This is hipster music.
Is it?
Yeah. I do like the song though.
I like how they take bluegrass but sort of apply a pop music thing on top of it.
Every song ends up with like a fucking banjo bonanza. Banjo? I just made up a word. Banjo. It's a banjo. It's a banjo bonanza. Like they all like are racing to play faster and faster and faster and faster. And it's like, okay, we get it. It's your fucking shtick. It's like that fucking harmonica solo in every Blues Traveler song. We get it. It's old.
There is so much more fun than Blues Traveler.
Very talented, but the only reason that they're...
Especially the mandolin player.
The reason that they're having... Is that the one you made out with?
He is the one I knew from college.
I was wondering which one it was. Was he wearing overalls?
Yes, he was.
Really? Wow, you made out with a dude who wears overalls.
He didn't wear them at the time.
He does now. That's even worse. There is a hipster irony kind of quality to them, though. It's like...
Yeah, yeah.
The only reason that they're as successful as they are is because there's a lot of hipsters going out to see them because of... It's hipstery to see a fucking bluegrass-esque band. The whole reason that Mumford & Sons are so successful. Not to say that they're not good. They
you know
have some
what's
good
funny
songs.
With you, though, is like we were listening to a Mumford & Sons song, and you're like, is this Trampled by Turtles?
Every time I hear Mumford & Sons, I'm like, I think the same thing. It's like, I know that's a song I kind of like that has that same kind of quality.
I like that you think Mumford & Sons is Trampled by Turtles, because Mumford & Sons were on the Grammys and shit.
I know. They're very talented. I'm not... disparaging them in right. any way other than to say that the reason they're popular is because hipsters think it's kind of amusing to see a band
to,
that has
to raise their
banjos.
PBR tall boys.
Yep. But they are talented, but you know, they're the Sleater-Kinney of 2011.
Huh.
I'm saying that they're...
I'm not sure how to say it. I was glad that they played. I was not glad that the guy from Cloud Cult had heart trouble.
This is at a...
We got to see them at the Current, which is another Minnesota Public Radio thing. We should just call this a Minnesota Public Radio Fan Fest show.
Yeah.
But the station, The Current, who also sponsors the Wits show that we saw with Patton Oswalt, they had a 6th anniversary concert at First Avenue and...
Trampled by Turtles played.
Yes. And they were not supposed to initially play because Cloud Cult was in the lineup, but their lead singer had heart surgery.
Yep.
But so, hopefully he's doing well and having a quick recovery. But I thought, hey, this is the only way I'm going to get Tim to see Trampled by Turtles, so here we go.
It's true. And that was fine. And 3 songs in, I was like, oh, please make it end.
And then Roma de Luna played, which... I like a couple of their songs, but there was one they did that was just really, really slow, and it kind of brought the evening down.
It was a little tedious.
Yeah. And then Jeremy Messersmith played, who was awesome. Oh, you should play his Valentine's song that I have on there.
I have that on here, too, I think. Is that a slow song? We need upbeat.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Upbeat peppy songs, okay. Which I can find. I'll find something by him that's upbeat and peppy. Is a boy, a girl, in a graveyard peppy enough?
No,
Violet.
It is not.
Violet is, though.
Violet
isn't it?
Is, though.
Did I play Violet on the last show?
We
though?
Might have played Violet on the last
I think
show.
I did.
Though.
We'll play something old by him. So,
Novocaine's kind of peppy.
Yeah, I was looking for that one.
Yeah, the thing that I loved about that is.
Go ahead.
Normally, people talk through the slow acoustic stuff, and it pisses me off so much. I want to, like, beat people. I want to hit them in the head and rage. Make them shut up. Because I think it's disrespectful to the performer and the people who have seen that, who have paid to see that performer and not listen to you talk about your stupid high school friends and bullshit.
I've gotten so used to people chatting at club
shows. I know.
Shows.
It's like I've almost just lowered my expectations. Like, all right, this is going to happen. I'm just going to have to suck up and deal with it and not get confrontational, because I have gotten confrontational.
I have too. You'll have a much better time if you just accept that's how it's going to go.
If you just accept it. And
I've become, in most cases, able to tune it out.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's easier when people are rocking out and other people are talking, because the guitar sounds drown things. And I'm right. Unfortunately talking over Jeremy right now, but during A Boy, A Girl, and A Graveyard, people were actually quiet and I
and
just
singing along.
Died happily.
It was cool to see people singing along. That was awesome for somebody who's relatively, you know, he's getting to be well known in the Twin Cities, but that was somewhat like heartwarming that people knew the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Pretty down.
Oh, that's I keep okay. thinking of the live version, because he starts out acoustic and then the band kicks in, and the live version of this is tremendous.
Yeah, actually, Jeremy Bester Smith is our next show, I think, isn't it?
Yes,
April 9th ish.
Yes, looking very forward to that.
Back to the Fitzgerald Theater, more Garrison Keillor farts.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's a good place to see a show, though. I can't complain.
I look forward to seeing you accost Craig Finn at some point.
That's not till April 15th.
Would you like to tell more people where we're going to be on specific
if
dates?
It was,
we have large dogs in our house.
It's true. We have security. If the Craig Finn thing was in the summer, I'd be wearing shorts and I'd be able to show him my tattoo, which is a Old Steady related tattoo. But if I were to meet him, I'd probably show him on my phone. I have a picture of it. I want to let him know, like, I like you this much.
Because if you pulled down your pants,
I'm
gonna
pull
it would
down
be
my,
really awkward.
I'm
going to
pull down my pants and show him my tattoo.
Oh, my God.
That would be awkward. Extremely awkward.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good thing you have a picture of that on your phone.
I do, I think.
Yeah. I think you do, too.
I've lost track of... I've got all kinds of shit going on here.
You've got my phone, your phone, iPod. And your... iPod Touch.
I don't need that one. Why do I? Yes, Jeremy Messersmith is awesome.
Yeah, we love him.
So what else?
Let's talk about the new Duran Duran album.
We can do that. The new Duran Duran album is also awesome, which is refreshing.
About that.
Because we're Duran Duran fans. We're geeks of the 80s. You know that. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Duran Duran many times.
In many incarnations.
Yes. We saw them several times during their semi-Duran Duran phase, when it was really just Nick and Simon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, although Warren Cucurillo, he was with the band for a long time. Not an original member, but he was with them
for
so long.
He was with them for a really long time.
So I really liked that incarnation of Duran Duran, although I was watching...
It was John Taylor-less, which made me sort of sad.
I was watching some 1999-2000 Duran Duran videos on YouTube today.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing. It's like, I loved when we saw
the
shows.
I love Wes.
But without John Taylor, there was a hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
The guys that they had were good.
The
session
Wes
guys.
Wes was admirable, and he had a very tragic thing happen, and he's
died,
no longer with us, but...
But then they reunited all five of the original members, and they did an awesome tour. Although,
except Andy left before we got to see all five.
I know.
So, yeah.
So there's a little bit of a hole. Andy didn't make it long because he's got some issues.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs.
Allegedly.
Not allegedly. He's on fucking drugs. But
also, I think he and Simon have some personality conflicts.
Yeah. The other four are still together. And,
yeah.
And so they put out an album a few years ago that was pretty good.
Which album?
Astronaut.
Yes.
Liked that
Except for the Bedroom Toys song. That song blew. But everything else was good.
That was their reunion album. Yes. Then they put out a...
They had some really good... Yeah. Whatever Happens Tomorrow.
Yep.
They had some really good songs.
Reach Up for the Sunshine.
Yep.
And then...
Taste the Summer.
And then... So we saw them... That was the last time we saw them. They came through on a pretty major tour. And we saw an arena show.
And if you ask my friend Sarah about the time she saw them, the show didn't sell out completely. And she was in the balcony. And then they moved her down to where she was standing right next to John Taylor.
And then they did another album a couple years ago called Red Carpet Massacre.
Motherfucker. Oh.
Here's a sign of that an album's going to suck. There's a song on there about Second Life. Remember Second Life? No, that's because you have an actual life. Second Life was this virtual world online where you could create a personality, and it was...
If you either had one in real life or didn't.
I spent a total of 10 minutes on Second Life. That's all it took to realize this is dumb.
It was... Wasn't it like The Sims, kind of, except with your own...
Yeah, your own avatar. And
yeah.
I think it might still exist. I don't know if anybody still uses it. It was supposed to be the big rage, but no.
No.
Moronic. Really stupid.
They did have a good song on that album, Falling Down, and the video got a lot of airplay.
Okay. Well, most of the album sucked. And they had like...
And they had Timbaland as a producer, and they had Justin Timberlake on. And
it was trying too hard. And it sucked.
Yes.
Luckily, they recovered, and their new album sounds like Duran Duran. It sounds like a classic Duran Duran album. It's good Duran Duran. I like it. If you don't like Duran Duran, of course, you're not going to like it. But if you like Duran Duran, this has the classic Duran sound. I'm a fan. Which song rocks?
Well, all you need is Now. That's the big.
Does it rock?
It's upbeat.
Does it adequately rock?
Yes.
I want to play something different. I'm going to play Runaway, Runaway. I think that rocks. I think it rocks. I listened to it earlier and I remember thinking, I like this.
I also like Girl Panic. I also like John Taylor. Have I mentioned that I had a crush on John Taylor in high school like every other woman in America?
Still do.
Good
doesn't
song.
Necessarily rock, but it's a poppy number. I like it.
It's very... If you like Rio, I think you'll like this a lot. Yeah,
this album, if you like classic Duran Duran, this is classic Duran Duran. Not trying to be anything they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound dated or anything. It's just...
Right.
It's good. I like this album a lot. I've been listening to it the last few days, especially, and I'm a fan. So we're going to be seeing them in a few weeks, too. We got so much fucking shit coming up. It's going to be awesome. April's going to be a good month.
Please let it be warm.
The music will warm our souls.
Yes.
That's what gets us through the winter. And you're going to see John Taylor up close and personal in a club.
Uh-huh.
Way far back, like in the arena.
I know he's married and I'm married, but
I think we've seen John. Well, we saw him at the show, the Astronaut show. I'm trying to remember, like, I think
15th row.
Yeah, that was pretty good. seemed like it was farther away than that, but
yeah.
And I can't remember, was he on the Power Station tour?
I did not see that.
No, I'm talking about me. I said, when the Power Station 2 album came out, I'm pretty sure he was touring with them. Yeah, that was a long time ago. I have a short memory.
So you were saying before we went out to dinner this evening.
Yes.
That it made sense for a fan to actually produce the album.
I was at Mick Ronson.
Nice.
I have to play all the young dudes now.
Mark Ronson.
Mark Ronson's sister. His sister is Samantha Ronson.
Yes.
That's funny. I don't have all the young dudes on here, which is shocking. Yeah, Mark Ronson produced it, and clearly he gets Duran Duran because he made them sound like them,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of how it's supposed to work.
Yes.
So I hope they stick with him for a long time. That was funny, Mick Ronson. Mark Ronson, though, his stepdad is dude from Foreigner, Mick Taylor from Foreigner.
Really?
Yeah. So that was a huge influence on him musically.
Wow.
I read that somewhere.
They just did a gig at a casino in Oklahoma, and they
Foreigner?
Had, yes, and they had.
Are you talking about Foreigner?
Yes, and they had people from the high school where I graduated be in the choir.
You know who plays bass for Foreigner right now, don't you?
Huh?
Jeff Pilson from Dokken.
No.
Yep.
So it was like a big deal that people from the high school were in the choir for "I Want to Know What Love Is."
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
There was a girl.
That'd be a fun thing to say. Hey, I sang with Foreigner once.
There was a girl in college that I crushed on. This girl named Amy. And
yeah.
I remember calling her dorm room and her roommate.
Her dorm room?
Well, I remember calling her.
Oh, she went to college while you were still in high school? Or
did I say high school?
You said
college.
High school.
No, this girl named Amy that I crushed on in college.
Okay.
That I remember calling her dorm room and her answering machine was, "I Want to Know What Love Is." She had that on her dorm. And I'm like, oh.
I want to show her.
I can show her. Didn't work out so well.
How many years was that before we met?
Long time. That was like freshman year. And she had an equally attractive roommate named Kathleen. I can only imagine what went on there.
who you also wanted to show what love was.
No, I think one of my friends had a thing for her, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
She's not one of your Facebook friends now,
no,
is she?
No. We never really, no.
Oh, Facebook.
Facebook, is there anything you can't do?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else is going on? So we've got Jeremy Messersmith. We've got Duran Duran.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have coming up?
Twins game.
Hooray for the Twins.
Yeah, I'm going to see them. We're seeing them in April. I'm seeing them in May with my friend who has the season tickets in the Legends Club. Then we're going. No, wait. The two of us aren't going till July. And then August. Sorry. Oh, yeah.
The baseball music.
The song that makes Mike Mills angry.
Mike Mills can suck my cock. The new REM album sucks. I'll say it. This does not.
In 1965, I wasn't quite alive yet, but I'm told they gave the MVP to Zolio Versailles. Lever hit the singles, and Harmon hit the homers. Marquette Grant won 20 games, so they didn't play in a dome yet. The Dodgers came to Bloomington to play for the World Series. The Twins took the first two. You can even ask Vin Scully. But Sandy Koufax proved to be a bit too much to crack. And the Twins went down at 7, but they vowed that they'd be back. From Nicollet to Hennepin, from St. Paul to St. Cloud, the Minnesota Twins are making Minnesota proud. And we don't buy our titles, so their summer's where we stay. But these are grown men.
These are grown men.
These are heroes. Please don't call them Twinkies.
In the fall of 87, I was pretty much in heaven. I got my license and a girlfriend, the twins and one a pennant. I pray more in the dome than I ever did at church. Kirby Puckett had the smile, Ken Herbick had the smirk. But first we tamed the tigers, then we were dealt the cards. And they came to the Twin Cities to try to make sense of our part. It was loud and it was close, and it went to 7 games. But the Twins took home the title and that sweet music played. You down into the loop from the south side of downtown. Minnesota Twins are making Minnesota proud. So hey, let's make some noise. Come on, wave those homer hankies. These are grown men.
These are grown men.
These are heroes. Please don't call them Twinkies.
Makes me so happy. Greg Finn from the Hold Steady. See, there's a tie-in. Somebody else we're going to be seeing soon.
Mm-hmm.
With the Baseball Project, singing about the Twins.
So, what was the story about Mike Mills at South by Southwest where he yelled out, fuck the Twins?
He was at a...
Was it a baseball project show?
And he was in the audience, and they were about to do not this song, but another song, apparently, they just wrote that's loosely based on the Twins. And Steve Wynn, the singer... and guitar player.
Not to be confused with Steve Wynn, the casino guy.
He intro'd the song and said, this is loosely based on the Twins, and Mike Mills yelled, fuck the Twins. And so the music writer for this Minneapolis paper asked him what that was all about, and he said he was still bitter from the 1991 series when...
It's been 20 years, get over
they
it.
Lost.
Come on.
Yeah.
20 years, dude.
Yep.
Let it go.
You lost, get over it. You've won since then.
Yes.
So fuck Mike Mills.
Yes. It's like, remember 95.
Yeah. So there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Raise a toast to Kirby Puckett. Every time I see a Kirby Puckett clip on TV, I get so sad.
I know.
What it, the tragic end of Kirby. And God, man, that guy was a hero. Still makes me sad.
Mm-hmm.
I love the song because it just so captures so much. And
the first time I heard this, I almost cried.
You get chills if you're a Twins fan, especially like, 87, first World Series win. I remember we got the fucking afternoon off school.
Yeah.
They shut it. They fucking bust us from school. Fucking private Catholic school. They shut down. They don't shut down for anything. They shut it down and bust us down to the Capitol so we could be there for the World Series. And the thing is, they fucked up the parade, so it took forever for them to show up. And we didn't even make it till they showed up at the Capitol. But we hung out there all afternoon, and it was amazing anyway, even though we didn't wait.
Mm-hmm. So you got there just before they did?
Or no, we got there hours before they did.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh. So, like, after we're hanging out and having a fun time because, you know, in high school, you can kind of hang out wherever you want. We weren't in school. But they were hours late.
Oh.
It took forever for them to get there. And so we ended up leaving before they even showed up for the thing.
Oh,
but
no.
Still, it's a memorable afternoon regardless of that because we were hanging out outside of school and having a good time and all that stuff. But I think I had to call somebody to come and get me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I'm here, how do I get home? They're like, which is awesome, you have to love that. They like, hey, we're gonna bust you to the Capitol and then good luck. We're gonna drop you off in a shady part of town, good luck getting home. Teaching
was
you
it
life
shady
lesson.
At the time,
yeah, it's always been kind of shady.
Yeah. Not just the people inside.
So I don't exactly remember how I got home. I don't know if I actually had somebody come and pick me up because it would have been hard to get down there because of the parade that was still happening.
Hmm. Did you walk?
That was a long walk. I don't know.
I mean, not home, but did you walk a distance away so you could actually get a ride?
I don't know. I might have taken the bus home or something. I don't know. The bus would have been kind of shady at that time too, but I don't know.
Huh.
Anyway, I remember being at the Capitol with my friends and having a good time, even though we didn't get to see the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't care. They'd won the World Series. Fuck it. That was all that mattered.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yep. So baseball season's starting soon. I can't wait to get back to Target Field. Tickets for a few games. I'm sure we'll get tickets for a few others.
Yep. They're supposed to announce some food changes soon, too.
Ooh,
I'm kind of curious to see
what they have
adding.
In store for
yeah.
us. That'll be good. They have great food anyway, but I'm sure that they will add some equally good new stuff.
We are lucky we got tickets because it was
a clusterfuck.
They had servers go down in the middle of ticket sales, and People were waiting hours and hours and hours only to be greeted with a white screen when they finally got into the ticket purchasing place online. And
not good. But we got lucky.
We did.
Good tickets for three games.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we'll be able to get tickets for whatever we want. It's just a matter of how much we want to pay for them.
Yeah.
That's all right. All right. What else do we want to play? I know we've had, is there anything else noteworthy?
Let's see. Do you want to play one of the Fratelli songs?
I can. Hold on. I have to switch devices.
So John Fratelli, formerly of the Fratellis, has decided to take the name back again and do
solo work.
Yes, but sort of using the Fratelli name.
Well, it's his name.
Well, yeah.
Fratellis are using his name, technically.
Let's see. There we go. I'm just going to play this here.
All right.
Well, there used to be three Fratellis. Kind of like the Ramones.
Now there's one Fratelli?
Yeah, his name isn't really Fratelli.
Oh, really? It's a made-up name?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know anything about them.
Yeah. Tried to sell me Jacob's glory. I'm the answer to the story. I'm the rhythm of the laughable applause. So I buried my belief and rode the train. A sign your lover is a liar in the rain. And though a man he has to eat, he's always drowning in defeat. Only a fool would think the world is round anyway. Put your money right where your mouth is. Don't go deaf or blind just to find this one. Well, there was a message in the Herald Tribune about awesome misrepute they couldn't ruin. Though the medicine they chose was dedicated to the road, they sucked like from this ridiculous cartoon. So I made some more excuse and I declined to be a joker and a poacher of the mind. Through the window and the gate, I spied the dagger on the plate, and I left every desperate one of them behind. Your money right where your mouth is. Don't go deaf or blind just to find this one. Plus one don't equal an answer. Rhythm doesn't make you a dancer.
Well, this is a lot better than the Marky Ramone solo album. You ever heard that?
No.
It's like kind of a pseudo rap album, I think. It's
Oh, I've heard of it.
I think Butler played part of it in a rock show. Yeah.
Oh, I do remember something about that, yeah.
Yeah. So, this is pretty good. I like it.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to it a lot, but yeah.
Yeah, good. He put out a free EP on his website.
Nice.
And I think he just released a single, but it's only on the UK iTunes store, so it is currently unavailable to us on the other side of the pond.
I'm sure we could find it if we really needed to.
Yes.
Sometimes one plus one don't equal an answer. Rhythm doesn't make you a dancer.
Good stuff. I like the Fratellis. All right. John Fratelli, if you're looking for that on iTunes, good times.
Yep. I think I'm about out of topics.
Are we running out of steam?
I think so.
As we tend to do on the show after about an hour.
Yeah.
Same thing happens every time. That's all right. Our other show was like 2 hours tonight, so.
And our dog is trying to fart us out of the living room.
It's getting kind of stinky in here. Great.
It's amazing how something so cute can be so foul.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up with the final track. I'm going to play something it's an old song, but I'm going to play it because I rediscovered it recently. Actually, I fully discovered it, I guess. I heard it many years ago, covered by someone, and then I forgot about it. And then I heard it recently played on the radio, and I was like, oh, that's that song I love. And then I bought it. Now I've been listening to it nonstop ever since, and it's an awesome song. Even though it's like, 25 years old, it's Steve Earle, Ain't Ever Satisfied. It's awesome.
It's a good song.
That's going to be it until we decide to do this again, which may happen in a week. It may happen in 4 months. Whenever we do it, we'll do it.
Yep.
that's this show. So thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with our rambling. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Or not soon. Bye.
Thinking about